Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This week coming at you, you know what it is. You're here every week. And if this is your first week listening, welcome. I try to make each show have enough references to past shows for people who listen regularly. And I try to have each show be something that you could just jump into at any time. And because I hate that with a podcast where you feel like I've already missed all the jokes. I'm not going to be able to get on board. I want you all on board. So welcome to the show. I'm in New York, back from the road. Just got in like less than an hour ago. I'm in my living room that I'm, I was just telling my guests that I'm about to be kicked out of this apartment at the end of the month. I've begged them to let me stay, and I could write a letter from a real estate lawyer and make them let me stay, but I don't feel like involving another lawyer in my life or getting to know another lawyer. Perhaps I could use my own that I already have, but I'll think about that. Anyway, I'm in my living room that I won't be in a month, which kind of makes me sad, but I'm in it with some two dear friends, one of whom was with me on the road this weekend in Grand Rapids and Detroit. Three shows together, traveled all day today. Andrew Collin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Had a great weekend. We're back, though, in the city that never sleeps, you know?
Yeah,
that's never what they call sleeps it. Here.
There's certain parts of town where you go, well, that doesn't really apply.
Yeah,
to
it's
this.
Pretty sleepy.
Auto lights off. Over
yeah,
there.
What, like Upper East Side,
Upper West Side? No, Upper East Side. Yeah,
yeah.
We would always be looking for my ex-boyfriend lived up there, and we'd always be looking for something. And I'm like, this city sleeps hard and
yeah,
early.
Yeah.
Dude.
This is 18 hours of rest.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, there's some streets.
The city is depressed.
If you have enough money, you can. There's some streets with no lights on it, and it's just like a private residence somehow for a whole block.
Yeah, it's like a little suburban town.
There's no cars. There's nothing.
Just horseback everyone rides on still.
Just a tumbleweed going by.
It is weird, like, when you start... Oh, and welcome to the show, recurring podcast guest, and went on the road with us a little bit, and we'll be back out on another show, I'm sure. Dan Perlman, everyone.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Welcome back to my living room. But yeah, I'm just like I'm looking to move, and so I'm seeing all these places right now, and it just makes you really assess of like what you like about this city, what you value in your comfort. Like, it makes you like choose shit because you can't have it all in one place. You're gonna sacrifice something,
right?
But like the part of town you live in, I found that I kind of like wherever I am until I leave, and then I like the next place more.
So what's at the top of, because you guys were looking last week. What's like at the top of your, like, I need to have this? What's
doorman.
Non-negotiable?
Doorman. For my
doorman.
Own safety.
Yes.
I care about safety. I don't like feeling unsafe.
Right.
Doorman.
Right.
And packages. It's just, I just want someone who's there that I can be like, help me.
Yes.
Yes. Someone to be murdered before I get murdered.
Right. Someone to just...
One line of defense.
One. It can't be straight to you.
Yes.
If you're dead,
annoying,
someone else
though.
Has to be dead.
Doormen
also.
Are awesome. They all have great
annoying.
Boundaries. Or they're...
They don't have good boundaries.
No.
Not in New York. I'm telling
really?
You. My brother had a doorman, and he'd be like...
To women, they do.
So I'd be walking upstairs and be like, hey, Lindsay... My brother's wife. He's like, oh, Lindsay's up there. I think she's in the shower.
Well, that's
yikes.
All...
Like, he
well,
would, like, know
stupid.
Where she all, is somehow.
But that's all doormen have is... Because I,
oh,
my
they,
friend's
he'd
dad
hear,
was...
like, the pipes going and be like, she's in the shower?
You could smell it outside the door.
Because all... Because it's
all
boring.
The
job is boring. So all you have is to sort of, like, gather gossip and information. You know what I mean? You know who's, like, cheating on their spouse. You know
that's
who's doing all this
it.
Shit.
I like bro-ing down with them. I became friends with Schumer's doorman. Like, shout out to Manny, who I was supposed to give a shout out to on the Joe Rogan podcast, because I promised him, I go, if I ever do it, I will give a shout out to Amy Schumer's doorman, Manny.
He lives
and I
for
fucking
it.
Forgot to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it next time I'm on. But he was cool. Antonio was awesome. He loved my dog Luigi and was really sweet to him. I've always just felt very good with nurtured by doorman. When I used to go to my therapist who lived in a doorman building or was working out of her doorman building illegally. They were always very kind to me there because I would go in, you know, in with a smile and out with tears.
I still do like every time you're walking through like a doorman building or lobby if you're going to a friend's or something.
Yeah.
Just to test if you can walk past without them stopping you.
Yeah.
Even if there's no, if you're not trying to sneak in or you could tell them, I'm going to see my friends.
Like,
it is fun to challenge that. If I'm going to a friend's house, I always try to walk past
I bet you get by because you're very confident. And like you can just act as if. And that's what you have to do. Like whenever I go to this building for voiceover for Blind Date, which I finished last week, so I don't have to go back. 65 episodes in the can. I have never done 65 episodes of anything. Not Safe lasted like for 24. I think Nikki and Sarah Live lasted for 24. So it's like 65 is like, oh my God. And it was a quiet accomplishment because it was literally only me talking to a voice over the fucking thing. And I go to a different, so I knew a voice on the other end, but that's the only teamwork I felt in the matter. And then the guy that would record me every day, but I would go to different voiceover places and sometimes they wouldn't remember me. And I'd just be like, dude, like, I don't want to sign in. And so I try to just, very often I'd be like, just act like you work here. Because bitch, you do.
Yeah, you do.
So, but you're so right about that. Like, just having confidence in a situation can
it
get you anywhere.
And if you have the opposite, if you walk in and you're like, even if you live there and you're I don't even know if I'm going to be, they're going to stop you every time.
Dude.
Because that has nothing to do with whether they recognize you or not. They just like smell, they just smell fear and uncertainty.
Shoplifting is a test of confidence.
Yes.
A massive test of it. And I failed it hard.
Taking a shit in a hotel.
Taking a shit at a hotel. Oh yeah, walking in.
Walking into a hotel. Like this is my place. Like
in the lobby, you mean?
Everyone says you can't take a shit in New York City. Go into any hotel.
Yeah, that's a great.
Just walk in. Like you fucking have a room.
Like
there.
You're staying there.
Yeah, it's very easy. They're not gonna call you out and be like and try to risk.
Yeah, I just always walk into restaurants and just I just storm past the hostess stand. I act like I'm maybe looking for someone, but I even feel like that's a lie. I just am like, I deserve to use this bathroom right now, and I'm going to.
Nobody is using it.
Thankful.
Nobody is using it. That drives me nuts when they're like, or when places, if you're just sitting somewhere and they give you a hard time. This is for customers or this is whatever. It's like, this is an empty room. This is a desk.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's just
I feel so guilty if I ever am. I'll buy a stake in your business. I feel so bad.
Just so I could shit for an hour.
I literally will invest in this failing business because I'm the only one here. Like, I will buy everything to make myself feel like I'm earning the rent.
That just drives me nuts because it's just like.
Well, you do have to earn the rent because they are like basing their income off of people being at their store and feeling so you've got to pay
understand.
The toll
but people if they're that rude to you it's just like well I'm not going to come back
and
here and buy it
those people are always making like $15 an hour and it's like why do you care
well, it's just like I'm just trying to get somewhere
the problem is because for every one of us there's 40 homeless people that are coming in with flies and taking a shit and then literally sometimes I don't understand it like I guess they shower in there because there's so much water on the floor in like a Starbucks. They really go to town in there.
Yeah, it's always very wet and wild
in a Starbucks bathroom. Oh, God, a Starbucks. But you know what? We go on the road and like you'll go to a Starbucks and you just fucking walk in and it's clean. Like, what is this? What is this? I'd fucking eat off some of the Starbucks toilets.
You feel like you're gonna, like, it feels like you should be wearing a biohazard suit walking into the Starbucks bathroom. It's not even like a grungy gas station Midwest vibe. Like, there's definitely like active needles and bacteria that is like. Just in the air. It's bad in there.
That really shows how well Starbucks is doing that they can allow that. That they're like most all of our New York Starbucks, we can just have that.
Well, you know why that happens
shelter,
now, right?
Just a full
it
day
shelter.
It can
be a shelter because they got in trouble.
Yeah.
And so now they have to, anyone can just use the bathroom and sit around. And it's like, I'm sorry, as a paying customer, I don't like it being used as like just a place people lounge around and talk loudly to each other. Like, it's just like, it's annoying.
That's why
people are just like abusive of it.
Yes.
But the other day I was at the Starbucks in the morning and I posted a story because it said like, we want you to regard this Starbucks as your oasis from the noise. And I just filmed it and then filmed what was going on around me. And it was just like,
just
I was
chaos.
In the middle of six different TikToks being filmed.
That's so
it
funny.
Was
and no
so,
cameras.
Yeah. It was wild. But
or
yeah.
no phones for that matter.
I don't even know.
I guess no one knows what camera is anymore.
Camera.
Knows
what, there were a couple cameras this weekend. This weekend was very fun on the road. Thank you so much, Detroit. Thank you so much, Grand Rapids. God, You guys came out. I can't believe.
It's crazy.
I'm very, like, I hate the word humbled because it just feels like something people throw around. But, like, I really am, I try not to let it sink in that people care this much to spend this money and this time on me. And it, like, moves me to think about too much in a place that makes me uncomfortable, because then I start questioning, like, am I worth that? And I'm like, am I trying hard enough? I don't want to let them down. And it gives me too much pressure. Andrew and I were talking about this because I rarely let it in how awesome it is.
Like, I don't bring it up because of how you react to my happiness.
Yeah, you get happy about these shows that aren't even yours in a way that I don't get.
Look,
don't
you trained me not to be happy.
I don't, I know. Dude,
yeah,
I'm
that's
really
a great
lesson.
Installed
that's
me.
That's a great lesson.
It's like, how dare you smile
enjoy
life.
Enjoy
yeah,
anything about
I know.
This.
I'll go, isn't this pretty cool? No, it's just a regular show. That's
it's
what she'll do.
It's just a regular show.
It's just a regular show. It's not even a big deal. I'm just only interested in the dance. I don't even care about my jokes. I don't care about comedy. Oh, you care about comedy, you fucking loser? I do it every night, though. And if I don't do it, I feel very alone, and I'm going to probably kill myself.
Okay, I feel seen.
Wow. Nikki is smiling.
No, you're absolutely right. But honestly, I don't ever lump all of those things together like that in a strip.
You could do it in a look.
I mean, that's true. No, I just have a
look.
It
would punch it up.
We didn't get a picture
of it.
It
would tighten it up.
There was this, like, painting of a woman just looking fucking displeased in the lobby of the hotel we were staying at. We didn't get a picture of it. I was going to I was like, that's when Andrew orders the same thing as me at Starbucks. I get so fucking mad. I'm like, get your own thing.
Yeah, but no
don't
one.
Don't copy my thing.
No one cares
about. I don't
about
like when people copy. I what care. Is
your, why?
What's your thing?
Why do you care that people, you order well, you go to Starbucks. More than anyone in the world.
Because
probably anyone in the world.
I know.
So you're an expert.
No,
me,
I'm
a novice. I haven't started drinking coffee until I started Zoloft where I could handle it.
Honestly, it's just my weird thing, and I could go into the depths of what it means to me and why it means something to me. It's related around my eating disorder. I mean, it gets murky. Like a weird, it's a weird place for me to go, but I gotta be honest with you, it just triggers me. Like, I feel like right now I'm feeling like lightheaded because of how much of the emotions that come up in me when people order the same thing as me and I'm forced to explain myself, it just bothers me.
Would you go back and change your order if they get the same thing?
No, because what I want
you're
is what I want.
Hate
I'm
it.
Very
yes.
like adamant about what I want.
Right.
And so I don't like when people go, "What are you going to get?" I just go, "You figure it out." Yeah. Because I don't want to, like, we're different people. Why for you to assume that you'll just like whatever I like blindly kind of like annoys me.
But you also suggest stuff that you think other people will like.
Yeah, I could do that. I could definitely do that. Hold on. I'm getting a call. Might be Uber Eats. Hello? Yeah, apartment 2. Can you buzz? I'll text you it. Oh, there we go. There we go. Do you ever get a call and it just says spam risk?
Yeah, well, I don't.
I want to start putting guys in my phone that I shouldn't trust as
spam
risk.
That's
because
good,
I'll just always.
That's a good label.
I'll never know if it's actually a number.
Right. And then you
not
put
that
in,
spam risk is ever texting you because guys that I don't like, I certainly aren't calling me ever.
But then
so.
You still put in something that lets you remember how they are, like tall spam risk, you know? Like spam risk with red hair.
Yeah, no, I once really put in with this guy. Like I said last week, don't trust him, Nikki.
Oh,
and it
yeah,
worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, there's
don't
a new thing with delivery guys, by the way, where they go, they'll call you
mm-hmm.
and then expect you to go down and get it.
Yeah,
like
I tip well
thing.
Enough that that's not. He had great communication. This is what I get to. I get to now review Muhammad's delivery. Quick and efficient. Perfect handoff. How was the handoff,
was the
Andrew?
Handoff?
The handoff was good.
Pretty okay, I'll give it a perfect handoff.
Yeah, he hit me right in the stomach.
I'm serious,
it was
you guys,
like
this
a
is,
baton, like a relay race.
Felt like a...
delivered with care?
No.
Really?
mild care.
I would say care. I feel like it arrived in its the right shape. Friendly service? We don't need to give him that. Great communication. I mean, he called me right away.
Yes.
I'll give him that.
Just give him 5 stars. I don't want to get this guy
oh,
fired.
I always give 5 stars no matter what. But review his tip. That's a decent tip. You think $14 is a good tip?
Yes.
Yes, great tip.
That's enough for him to come
five
up.
5 stars.
One flight of stairs.
Yay.
It's a new thing. It happens all the time where I live. They're just like, hey, we're here.
No,
I'm like, yeah,
I go,
just ring up. They
go,
no, we're downstairs. And
no,
I go,
I know it's a pain in the ass, but the thing is, It honestly isn't a part of their job. If they're not getting paid enough, I wouldn't do fucking anything I'm not getting paid to do. So fuck that. Postmates pays them nothing. It's all based on tip. So when people want... When I lived in a 4-4 walk-up, I would always text them if I didn't want to go down, which I always went down because I just didn't want them to have to walk up. But if I was like not feeling it, I would just text them, I'll tip you a ton. Please bring it up. But like, you got to pay for that.
All right.
You got to. It's not just implied. Just
but a lot of buildings have elevators. I mean, what it is they can do probably 10 more orders an hour.
They aren't making enough money to do that for you.
I know. I get that.
The time it takes, they have to park up their bike, everything that is involved.
But why is that
exactly.
my fault?
They have to leave.
It's not your fault, no, but you need to pay more for it. Then.
Yes. They have to leave their bike and shit unattended. They also have to go upstairs to, I'm sure
then
the fucking weirdos,
you will tip
the
them.
Weirdos they see and get pulled into, I'm sure for a lot of them it's some concern
Dude,
of that also.
They risk getting their bike stolen. They risk, it takes so much time, more time that they could get another Postmate and make another actual.
Right.
Okay.
Like they're not like.
I get it. I thought you guys were going to be thinking
on
of
your
this
side.
Thing. Not on my side, but not
no,
so
No, and
defiant.
You know what? If they want to help themselves to my food, good. You're saving me
oh,
calories.
Oh, get out of here.
Just
long
kidding.
As long as it's a perfect handoff, I'm good.
There was a good handoff.
It was a perfect handoff.
Right in the belly.
So what do we want to review from this weekend? Detroit, Grand Rapids. What were the, like, I didn't let it in, but honestly, yes, I am trying to let it in more. It is really hard for me because I just want to say that it makes me feel like if I think about it too much and how much people care, it makes me feel like too much pressure on myself. And then I start like inner monologue of self-hate and self-criticism, even though it's constantly already flowing through me.
Yeah.
And just watch the Taylor Swift documentary and you'll understand my struggle and what I go through because I really related to her, or at least the first half that I've watched. I'm like, I'm experiencing this on a micro level for sure.
Right.
But seriously, guys, it really means a lot to me. I like love my fans and I got to meet a lot of you and you're all really nice and cool and respectful. And it's different than the fans from comedy clubs, which have often been that way as well. But there's less riffraff because these people are just like, I don't know, they paid the extra money to meet me and it's just really nice. And girls cry sometimes and that is fucking so nice. There was this girl, Haley, this weekend. Did you meet Haley? She loved us.
Yeah.
Blonde. She smelled so good that I go, what
Very
are you
pretty.
Wearing? Anya was the one.
Her boyfriend had a man bun.
I wanted to ask her what she was. Yes, he did.
He was very nice. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I wanted to ask her immediately what she was wearing, but she was such a fan that I didn't want to like alarm her or make her feel like I was just saying that because she was a fan. So I just let it slide, even though I was like, God, she smells good. Then Anya goes, you smell good. What are you wearing? And I go, Anya, I was going to ask her that. That's amazing. And she goes, dude, I was asking for you because I've been interested in a new fragrance. And so I'm buying it blindly. If you want to smell like me, you can get Burberry Her. I think that's
the
name
pink.
Of it.
She said the pink bottle.
Yes,
I believe.
Burberry Her. So I'm blindly getting it. It smelled so good on her. But Haley was just so cute. She got a little misty-eyed. And it makes me misty-eyed because if I met Taylor Swift or like someone that meant that much to me, that I mean to some girls, I mean, I would cry too. I was thinking if I met Taylor Swift, I would cry. So when you cry for
that's
me,
really
I fucking
sweet.
Love it.
That's
I fucking
really nice.
I just think what happens is you work so hard.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I don't want to take any of this in because I know I have another thing coming.
Right.
But the happiness that you can take in should allow you to then feel like a little bit more okay with how much you work.
Yes.
So hopefully they balance out.
Andrew, is I don't feel like I work hard enough. I truly think I'm lazy. And it's like, it's crazy.
I think
it will never be enough.
I think that's okay to think that because it will keep you working, you know? But
right.
The happiness should let that in when you see those other people.
Yeah, I let
who
happiness
happy.
In this weekend.
When you see how happy you make them, you should let that bounce.
No,
back
I let
to
it
you.
In. I really did. Like I
but
felt
you're
I get every
well.
Other.
It's I'm just tired.
You're, but you're
though,
also overwhelmed with how much you work. So you want to work more.
And
you don't feel like you're working
for me
more.
Right now are not that convenient to have. Because I don't have time to have them. So for me to be like basking in the glow and appreciating it, like it takes an energy and it will make me emotional in a way that it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It will be. Yeah. So I don't know. But I'm letting it in more.
I could literally see why like Martin Lawrence and like Chappelle went to Africa and Martin Lawrence was like naked in a street.
Yeah.
With how, like, when you were talking
he was
on
naked
Saturday,
in the street?
Yeah, Martin Lawrence he had a full on breakdown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was it. It kind of inspired the 30 Rock Tracy Morgan's character. Yeah.
If you keep pushing.
Yeah.
And you don't take in any happiness or you don't take time for yourself.
Yeah.
It builds up and it's inside you. And then eventually you fucking.
Yes.
Go
you
fucking
have a
nuts.
But I also I think for them it was a lot of what you're talking about. Being afraid of getting in the spiral of this external pressure that they were feeling on them by all these sort of outside forces and feeling sort of like suppressed and like
people being able to like have an opinion about you and
yeah.
like. And voice it and think they know you is odd.
Well, it's weird because so much of stand-up and anything creative is like you want to have control over your narrative and what you put out and
yeah.
everything like that. And then it must be weird at a certain level to have one that you start to have that leave your control a
yes.
little bit.
Yes,
as
they
more
like
people
you crowd
are aware
surf
of you.
Like the more
right.
the crowd builds, you're
right.
just like,
you're
whoa,
like,
whoa, whoa,
wait,
I don't,
wait,
they're taking me away.
Right. Even though it's... ostensibly what you want, it's more people aware
yes.
of you and everything.
Yes.
It still must feel like less control.
Yeah, I got a lot of like, I got one guy sending me notes on the
I
show.
I read that comment. It really, it
I wrote to him.
Me.
I go, I'd love your notes.
It triggered
if they
me.
Have
I was
anything
write
to do
something.
With my material, I don't want them because it's none of your business. But if you have notes for the flow of the show, I'd love to hear
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
I got into it with him and I go, I got to be
honest. What did he write? Did he write?
Well, the thing is, I knew what he would write and it was about my material. He's
oh,
like, at some points
that.
You lose your place. Now, there's a thing that happens to me a lot because I smoke a lot of pot, is that I'll be in the middle of a thought and I'll be like on a roll and I'll be like, and I have so much material right now that is just like bubbling out of me in this like real organic way that sometimes I will lose my train of thought. It's because of pot and it's because my mind works too fast sometimes and it's just like going. And I just say to the audience, I go, wait a second, what was I just talking about before
yeah.
that? And I just ask them, I remind them, and I make it funny. Because I talk about how mm-hmm. I smoke pot and then it leads to stuff about pot and then I can't even remember. Then I go back to it again. So if I lose my train of thought on stage, and I know I'm looking at you guys like you're the ones that are complaining about this
yeah,
and
yeah.
you understand, obviously.
Well, I didn't complain.
If I lose my spot on stage, it is not because I am a bad performer or because I didn't put on a good enough show for you. And it wouldn't make the show better if I didn't. It's a fun moment because I show vulnerability and I'm going to keep doing it because I'm going to keep smoking pot. So, because it treats my depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's true. Oh, you know what? Fuck, we have clips to get to this week. So we don't have to go as long because I have to set up a couple clips, which is, so we'll get to clips. We'll eat a little bit of our dinner.
Sure.
And then get back or we'll just keep going. But this leads us perfectly into a great part of my interview. And Andrew was there with Adam Pally this week on the show.
He was great.
There were just some parts of the show this week that I was like, you guys, the audience needs to hear
Hopefully
them. Everyone
Biggs
needs to hear them.
Too.
Jason Biggs was in studio. Adam Pally. We are getting major stars that just talk to us like they're friends. It's really incredible.
That's cool.
Adam Pally was in. He's been in, I think this is like fourth appearance on the show. And he knocked it out of the fucking park.
Yeah.
But we talked about, I said that I wanted to air our segment about talking about pot because I struggle with, like, do I have a problem with it? And he just, like, put me at ease about it and made me feel better, which maybe is just me, like, a scapegoat. But enjoy this conversation with Adam Pally, Andrew Collin, and me, and Ian about pot.
Or a place where I get confidence is my... kind of comfortability with the chaoticness of the world and like that mm-hmm. there is no rhyme or reason to anything and that things are supremely unfair and to have expectations or to be let down. So
yes.
you just kind of, I try again to just find a balance for myself and try to kind of walk as humane a road as I can. And like, I feel like that's, so I don't know. I don't have anything like
but
that.
But was that something you came to later in your career? Because or was this always
no.
something that you kind
I think
of accepted?
I was just like, yeah, I think no, it wasn't something I came to late in my career. I think loss and death have something to do with
sure.
it. Sometimes you lose people and you kind of you realize that the chaos of everything, it's like there is no rhyme or reason. So at a young age, when that happens, you get it sometimes. But No, I don't. I think it's just something I was lucky, a view of the world I was lucky to have from
a
young age.
Have psychedelics played a part in that?
I didn't learn that on psychedelics, but I do like psychedelics.
Yeah.
And I'm a proponent of them for sure.
I'm interested in this in psychedelics because I'm on an antidepressant now, and I smoke a lot of weed to manage my anxiety and depression.
Same.
And what are you on?
I'm on Prozac.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on Trintellix and Zoloft over there.
Yeah.
And
everyone's really tired in here.
Yeah. I mean,
certain fog in here that I feel very comfortable in.
Yeah. Good. Yes. Good.
But also focused. Also focused.
Yeah.
Andrew's holding a lantern.
Yeah.
So do you smoke weed too?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you feel like? Because I always thought like, oh, I'm just trying to get high because I want to feel good. But it's like,
no,
I'm dealing with my feelings. I'm trying to.
But doesn't that lead to more anxiety?
No. I like the way, I think Seth Rogen put it this way once, is like for him.
No.
That's exactly what I was going to say. But I think
Seth Rogen said it best.
For him, it's like wearing glasses in a way. It's like it's just an easy, the world is very harsh.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're an adult, sometimes you can not have to, it doesn't have to feel so sharp all the time. And I think from a young age as well. I'm a Jew. I'm from New York. Like it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, what are your interests? And I just had it from a young age, and it kind of, I'm sure it's self-medicating.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, but I love it.
I do too. I struggle with it. I talk about it on the show a lot because I don't drink anymore. And I used to have this thing about like, oh, I'm sober. And now I smoke so much pot and I feel
California sober.
Yeah, yes. But it's
sober.
Like, you know, there are times where it does hinder my performance in certain ways. I can't think as fast. Or if I smoke too much or I haven't eaten the right amount of food with it or whatever.
I mean, it seems like anything. Like
yes,
if I take my vitamins and I don't eat, like there have been many a morning where I have to like pull over on like Cahuenga and puke at a diner.
Yes.
Because I took my vitamin before eating.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, this traffic. Oh my God, I'm gonna puke. Like, you know, so I feel like that's with anything.
How do you ingest marijuana most of the time?
Preferably joints.
Joints,
but I have children and I'm not comfortable with it around them. So I have to have a vape cartridge dad weed situation. Which I've come to grips with and like I like it. It's fine. And then I like edibles and
right.
Whatever.
Do you always have it on? Like, do you smoke every day?
Yeah,
maintenance. Yeah, me too. I'm just interested in that because I'm thinking about having kids someday, and I'm like, I don't want to stop smoking weed, but I definitely don't want to hot box their nursery.
You don't have to. I mean, I have a lot of friends, you know, no shade or anything, who have children who live the same life that they always did. I feel like I probably grew up in a household like that.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, I don't look at it. I can self-justify almost anything, but I don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, and also I'm a good dad. Like, I would never do anything to put my kids in jeopardy.
Right.
And weed doesn't ever, you know, you're never, driving your kids to school and you're like, oh, my God, I got to smoke right now and not in 2 minutes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not that type of stimulant. Because the kids will get out of the car in 2 minutes. You know? So it's like, you just, you know.
You're not going to sell your kid's crib for a bag of weed.
Yeah.
You should.
No, because I have a savings account that I just use just for weed.
And we're back. Real quick, Andrew, tell us about your weekend, your hookup. He had a dilemma. He had to choose between a couple of ladies in Grand Rapids that slid in.
There were two girls. There was one girl with her mom, very she seemed very Bible Belt, very Christian,
yeah,
but naughty, naughty Chris.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then there was just a naughty, naughty
no mom.
Satanist. Killed her own mom with her bare hands. Ate her.
Yeah.
And
you went with that one.
No, it was tough. There was the devil on the left. Yes. And the angel on the right.
Yeah, she had like pictures where there were like bugs crawling on her. Like,
yeah,
like
literal bugs.
This is the one I saw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you usually I would go with the church girl.
No, he just showed me.
Okay.
I'd go with the church girl because I feel safer. Probably feel like I don't have to wear a condom and I can go down on her and not worry about diseases.
Yes.
I don't know why,
yes.
But I feel like, you know, a sundress,
yes.
You know, with a Bible, less chance of
yes.
getting sure. herpes.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. Satanist, on the other hand,
it's like a Starbucks bathroom.
Is a walking herpes, but like a hot.
I don't mean to say that. I did not compare this girl to this. That was just a reference yeah. to the old no. joke.
And but what I'm saying
is, where they
but this girl,
also.
I told yeah. him to go for this girl yeah. too yeah. because she was the other girl I met and she was so cute and so hot and like
oh, you met both
but this
them.
Girl I just wanted a different story. I just yeah. wanted, like, I knew what that story would be. I was like, what is this chick gonna be like to hook right. up with? And I really didn't even hear. It was fun, right?
Yeah. Also, those judgments, I'm completely in the wrong about. I mean, she was yeah. naughty, but like, I'm like, those ideas that
she's
I have,
like,
I know that
bringing
those are judgments
locusts yes. into the bedroom.
But there were locusts all over Instagram. So what am
right.
I supposed to think?
Right, right, right. You're prejudging, but that's the what she's putting out yes. there. So yes. you had no, yeah, you have only to go on what you have to go on.
90% of her Instagram is a horror movie. People die in horror movies.
Yeah, yes. I know. So
but
why not you?
But not,
yeah.
not of
yeah,
disease.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not of disease. Not they die quick of a hatchet, which yeah, is yeah. so much easier. Yeah.
But they still didn't have to wear a condom before they got yeah. they got next.
They
got to
wear some kind of protection, a helmet maybe. So I picked goth.
Chainmail.
Yeah.
So I pick goth. I put armor on, and I meet her at the bar. She's sitting there at the bar. There were like four people from the show, and yeah. so like Nikki, you know, she whores me out, and so those four people will see the girl that this is the one I choose.
Yeah, right. I like you make know? A big spectacle of it. So everyone from the show is just like, oh, I guess that's the girl.
That's the
lucky one.
Oh, that's
for
so
tonight.
Funny.
For room 412. I get out his hotel room number.
You got the room number right.
Yeah, this time we got the room number. Last time I got it wrong in Boston, but this time
yeah,
got it right.
Yeah, manager fucked.
Oh, yeah. No, I gave my managers.
So anyways, I pick her. We meet at the bar. We talk. I just want, you know, I don't drink. So I just wanted
right.
to get to the fucking.
Let's just get to the sure. fucking.
Let's get
yeah.
to the
yeah.
fucking, right. you know? And so then I end up, you know, talking for a while. She's like, oh, I want to show you the hotel. I was like, I've seen hotels.
Why does she want to show you the hotel?
Because apparently it's an interesting hotel.
But what is she doesn't work there.
She doesn't work there. She doesn't even know. Know. Yeah, I don't have any
this
idea.
This hotel does have a lot going on. I mean,
yeah.
there's...
But why is she playing tour guide of in a
I
hotel
think she
he's
wanted
staying
to, like, walk
in
around, she... maybe with, like...
She just,
she just
needed
wanted
to
talk
up.
More. She just wanted yes. to talk more. Yeah.
yeah.
How old is she?
Yeah, you want
to
say?
You don't have
21.
To say. Okay.
20?
Yeah. 21.
21. Okay.
I thought she was older. I thought she was 27.
Oh,
you don't
Grandpa.
Have to. Yeah, okay.
It's bad. It's kind of
yeah.
weird.
And how old are you?
Huh?
Huh?
In locus years? 39.7.
Oh,
39.7. God, that sounds
no,
so
39.8, I think.
Everyone's an adultish.
But it was fun. Yeah. She's like mature. She has like a real job. She fucking was making fun of me for dying soon. Like, she
Did
was
she
really giving
show?
Me a lot of shit.
Yes.
She went to the show, of course.
With her dad.
With her dad.
Oh, okay.
Then the dad cool. took the car,
well,
which was kind of weird.
Well, she just has her permit, and so she wanted to practice on the way there, and yeah. the dad had to go.
Yeah, and it was cool. He actually dropped her off, and he just drove around the parking lot for a while. And
that's
he goes,
really
is this? Yeah, yeah, and he goes, I'm going to the PG show. And
they practiced.
Like, really? And then she snuck into yours.
And while we were backstage, like, kind of closing up, they just practiced parallel parking yeah, up front. Yeah, it's like, she got a good little night in. She saw a show.
Yeah,
she practiced with her dad.
He gave her the talk and everything.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he gave her the birds and the bees talk, and then she went in and got one of those things.
Got fingered by an old bird. Or an old bee. I don't know what it meant.
She unleashed her bees that she has on her Instagram.
So how did it go down?
So then we just went back to the room.
The birds and the locusts talk.
So we go back to the room, and, you know, she's very sexual. And we're looking out the window, and we had, like, kind of a Titanic moment. She's like, look at this. And I was like, can we just lay down? Like, what are we doing here? Are we, like, going to ponder Grand Rapids?
Yeah. I mean, she's 21. Very, she's an ambassador of her city. She has to, like,
yeah,
really
she has to represent,
sell it to
this
you.
Is, you're going to be your main memory of Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
She has
point.
To, you know, she's the mayor.
She is the mayor. Yeah, she had a key
she
on
had
her
key
neck.
To the city.
She did. She had a
she
gun.
Did. She did. That was the key to the city.
Yeah.
She earned that.
She had a key to the Grand Rapids.
She won the 5K turkey trot. That's to represent Grand Rapids for a calendar year.
And one of those things is fucking Andrew. It's one of the chief.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
Well, your old responsibilities.
Pick one act coming through the Royal Oak. You got by on a technicality because it didn't specify headliner. So,
well, there are no headliners on our show. Remember, you said that.
Really? Did I say that?
Yeah, you said don't call me the headliner. Call me the.
No, I said don't call me the headliner because it's just a dumb thing to say.
Yeah,
and no one knows what it means. Like he used to go, "Are you ready for your headliner? Are you ready?" It doesn't make sense. It's just like,
the person
are you ready
all here to
see?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the girl you came here to see tonight? Are you ready for fucking the. Yeah, the girl like
that
the
bitch.
It's that. Are you ready for this bitch? That would be funny.
Actually, yeah. You ready for this blonde haired, blue eyed bitch?
Yes.
That
yes.
Fucking won't
that
shut
would
the fuck up.
Hitler's
dance dream.
Loses
her place and she's too high. You ready?
Oh my God.
Okay, so then.
I didn't
anyways,
get high before.
Long story short, I just lay down. She has to take off her Doc Martens, which, if you're ladies, if you're wearing Doc Martens, that takes a good hour and a half to get those bad boys off. And then she got naked. She had an insane. Body, she was so much fun.
Yeah,
she reminds. It reminds me you hooked up with the girl, Margot Robbie's character.
I was literally, I showed her a picture of that. The joke on you
a
or
what?
Whatever. Picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prey of whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Birds of prey.
Anyways, yeah. And then we had sex, and I wore a condom, and
good job, dude.
And
it was fun, and she left.
Yeah, I came from. Sex.
You came from sex, which you don't normally
well,
do.
Well, I learned really? That I like condom sex more because you get as wet as you want, but your boy stays so dry.
Ah, right. Yes.
Wait, I like it dry.
You usually can't come during sex.
No, only from my own hand.
You should get non-lubricated condoms. Seriously. Yeah.
I know. Drier to better. I should get those lay them just to skin.
Just lay them out before you, like, just put them back in your, just have them loose in your pocket. They'll dry
you
out.
You know what was weird? I'll tell you one weird thing. So I come. And I throw away the condom, and then I joke that I didn't come, you know, because she heard my stand-up.
Yeah.
And she goes, "I want to see the cum."
Oh, my God.
And so I went in the trash.
You went in the trash. And
I go, "This is the cum, but I just got to let you know it was already in there before I put it on."
Yeah.
This came pre-cum.
Pre-cummed.
Man, she was with her dad 20 minutes before.
Learning how to parallel
so
park.
Fucking crazy. We got to get to another clip from the show. I'm trying to pick which one. You know what? I want to talk about, I really am making a push. I think I'm going to have a call with my agents tomorrow to be on the next season of Bachelor in Paradise. I think it's my last year as a woman to be able to do it. There is an age limit on that show, and I already am well past it to be the Bachelorette. But Bachelor in Paradise is different kind of rules. It's more fun. It's more loose. They don't care as much about, like, I don't know. I just really think I could spice up Bachelor in Paradise, so I'm really going to make a plea to be on it because I think it would be such an amazing experience. And it tapes in June. I don't really have much going on in June, I don't think. And but anyway, I talked to Peter the Bachelor this week, and I begged. This was before my Bachelor in Paradise idea, which was prompted by Alex Bordy, who was on Rachel Lindsay's season of The Bachelor. He was a contestant. He's a handsome Russian man who came to my shows and is a friend of mine and came to my show in Detroit, and he suggested I do Bachelor in Paradise. I think it's a great idea.
How far did he get on the show?
I think he made it like top eight.
He's a very sexy man, this guy.
Yeah,
it's insane.
He is so hot. It's crazy. It's really nuts. And last time I saw him, I like stood on his shoulders. I mean, he's gigantic. Like, he's just has a perfect physique.
Yeah, if you live in Detroit, you should fuck this guy.
Yes, definitely. He doesn't have issues fucking. He made that very clear. He's like, I don't need the dating apps. Like some people just don't need them.
Yeah.
Well, he's a 6'4 Adonis.
Yes, exactly. He doesn't need them. I just got to get to this clip. So, Pilot Pete, who is the current Bachelor, was in studio with us. Sorry, Dan. Dan, shut up. And Matthew Hussey was also in studio. Matthew Hussey is a guy I talked about on this podcast. He's like a dating expert, and he also gave me some good dating advice that we'll get to in just a little bit. But this is my conversation with The Bachelor, where I kind of go on. Like, there was a producer from The Bachelor in the room, like kind of keeping an eagle eye on him. And I fucking was like, The producers set you up. Admit it. You know it. Like, I think I went hard on him, but you'd be the judge for yourself. Here's that clip now with Anya Marina, Matthew Hussey, me, and Pilot Pete on, I guess, Wednesday's show, I think.
Pilot Pete.
I know, Pilot Pete.
Remember one season they had the therapist for that one guy? One
it's
bachelor?
Nice. You should all have a therapist on deck. Yeah, but who are you talking? Who are you? You just going home alone?
No, I mean, honestly, you become
producers.
Best friends. You really do. Like, yeah, I know people say that, but you do. You spend so much time with them every single day. They're so invested.
But you can't trust them. No offense. Are they in the room?
Oh,
no, you can't be trusted.
You can trust Julie.
That's why she's here. She is keeping a close eye on
wait,
you.
Wait, you got a point there.
She's making sure
she's watching.
You're watching.
It's true.
It's 100% true. These producers are not dumb.
No.
Matthew and I were talking about it before the show, about how if we would ever do these shows. I did Dancing with the Stars, and... during that process, the producers just, they convince you that you're best friends, which you do literally become really good friends. Some of them, yes.
Listen, there's drama, yes, that has to occur on the show at the end of the day.
Yes.
It's a reality TV show. I get that. But I promise you, the producers do at the end. They want this to work. I swear to you, they do. And if they try to meddle with too much stuff, it's probably not going to work in the end. So
right.
I will say that.
They do. I believe they
put a champagne setup, one extra champagne setup that caused a three-episode gaffe or drama.
And they booked a guy who just so happened to maybe spend one night with one of the girls on a date to perform for you while you slow danced to the surprise vocal stylings of Chad or whatever the hell his name was. Chase.
Chase, right. It's crazy stuff. But let me, if there wasn't
Listen,
drama,
I would
you
do
guys
the
like
same
as much?
Damn thing. Yeah, no. I'm grateful for this drama. I'm just saying that even though they're good people, the producers on these shows, because I genuinely, and I'm friends with an ex-producer of The Bachelor, and I love him, and I think he's great. I'm just saying, when I did Dancing with the Stars, my own experience, I like broed down with them too much and shared too much, and that came back to bite me in different ways that I didn't intend. Like, I was broing down with a producer, and I found out she was the fucking casting director. No, I was broing down with the casting director, who I thought was like, she casted me, she convinced me to do the show, we were really friendly, and I was like emotionally like releasing some stuff about the show to her that I thought had no bearing, and people go, you know she's an EP, right? And I'm like, well, I'm going to be kicked off the show based on what I just told. So, like, you just...
I get where you're coming from. I will just say, though, and I can't speak for any other type of show,
sure.
But a show about love and finding love, again, it's in no one's interest.
That's what Dancing with the Stars is about.
Work.
I'm just kidding.
It's in no one's interest for it not to work. And again, you're going to get the drama. That's what a lot of people, they watch it for that as well, and I get that. So in that moment
with Chase...
Yeah.
Was there?
Okay, I will give Julie a hard time for that. She set me up with that.
In that moment,
with the whole wedding comment.
Why did nobody say, or was it just edited out? I was dying for one of you guys to be like, "Come on!" Like to look off screen and look
they
at the producers.
They probably did. And
well, I was just so excited because I'm honestly a huge Chase Rice fan. I was so excited to be going up there on stage with Victoria and just to dance. So like I didn't know. I swear.
Do you think back and you're like, "Oh, how naive I was!"
Oh, extremely. And then
let me rephrase that. At dinner with Victoria afterwards.
Yeah.
When she reveals that she had dated him.
Right. By the way, Matthew, this is what happens on the date. They're on a date, and always at one point during a bachelor date, like you walk into this room together, and there's just like a musical, like an artist performing that no one's really heard of except you, Peter. And
you guys have heard of Chase Rice.
No, Chase Rice is big, but like it's just usually someone I'm not used to, but that's kind of like a big opportunity for them. They play. So his date had hooked up with Chase Rice before. So she walks into this like, I'm guessing, I didn't see the episode, but I'm guessing it was this like beautifully lit room and you're supposed to slow dance. And she's dancing to a guy she's hooked up with a guy she's falling in love
that's
with.
That's one of the weird, I think I said it at the dinner portion, like it's so weird to be like dancing, making out on stage in front of your ex-boyfriend singing to us. Like,
it's wild and brilliant.
You know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Did you know once you were there?
No,
not until later. She was like, "Hey, by the way."
She told me at dinner that night.
Did she know he was
going
to be there?
No.
No, none of us knew.
The producer set it up.
That's
did
why.
He, did Ch- is it Chase?
Yeah. Chase.
Did he know she was going to be there?
No,
I don't
I'm
know
because
I had a really, now it looks awkward as hell. I had a really awkward conversation with him after it. And I'm talking, and I'm like, "Yeah, man, this is Victoria," like talking about how cool she is. And he's like, "Yeah, dude, I know."
But clearly,
clearly
the producers knew this information beforehand, and that's why
it was public
they picked,
that this woman dated right. him.
That's why they picked Chase. So why, at no point in the show,
Chase
does anyone
would never
say,
have done that.
"Oh, this is a producer. This is due to producers"?
Because
Why? Maybe because they also, first of all, when I would be on Dancing with, I'm just speaking from my own reality experience, I'm not in charge of what makes the cut. So if I cut to camera and go, who did this?
Okay.
It's not going to make the cut. So why Got even it. Say it?
Did any of that happen though?
Well, I guess Chase was the only one that had that information ahead of time that would have been able to say something. Because again, we don't have our phones or anything. We have nothing.
Wait, he knew?
I don't know if he did. But if anyone knew, he'd been the only one that did know.
I would love to know if he knew because I don't think he would sign up for that. This isn't punked. Right. You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
He was trying to have his first TV, like,
they
80s
did a good
prime
job.
Time.
Yeah, keeping it a secret.
Yeah. So.
But I'll say, like, I thought Victoria handled it really cool. Like, she didn't make it. She could have made that a really awkward, uncomfortable
And I hear you
moment.
Handled it very well.
So it's truly just a coincidence.
Just laugh at it. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's good.
Just a coincidence,
I don't buy it.
It was not a coincidence
no way.
At all.
It was not a coincidence.
But it's okay. You don't need, that's not your job to say. That's for my job
I
to speculate.
It. Okay.
It's like Pistol Pete.
Yeah, Pilot Pete. Yeah, you just heard Pilot Pete. What would you say?
No, now Dan's afraid to talk because you.
Yeah, I'll shut you down.
I thought we were doing.
Dan is always fucking yapping, huh?
God, he's such a chatty little
chatty Kathy.
Bitch.
Kathy or Gaddy?
Gaddy.
Chatty Kathy.
Chatty Kathy. That's what I said.
Kathy. Yeah, that's what you said.
He said no. It's Chatty Kathy.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's Chatty Kathy.
Oh.
Chatty Kathy.
But that doesn't rhyme.
I know. It does seem like it should.
I swear to God, I always thought it was Chatty Kathy.
I know, it's true.
Because you're talking about like a, you know, like a lady that talks a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
a cat that talks a lot. Cats
or
don't talk.
A caddy.
Like a listen, golf caddy?
I just want to cut to the chase.
Yeah.
I have a lot of clips to get to, and I'm not going to get to them all. You guys need to like get serious to listen to these shows because honestly, I want to do an original podcast every week, but I also have clips from the show that I terribly want you to hear because there's great conversations that are had. One in particular, if you want to go find it, is from Matthew Hussey's episode. It was just great top to bottom. It was like such a good show. Anya was there. So I really recommend going to listen to that one. He gave me some great dating advice that I think would be good for every girl to hear. You guys should follow him. I watch all his videos and I learned so much about myself and men. And I feel like he's just an important voice. Dr. Dude, you know the book Getting To Do I Do that I'm obsessed with? I talked to Dr. Pat Allen on the phone on Monday's show. It was wild. We ended up getting, I like was screaming at her at one point because I was just, because she reminded me of my old therapist, Donna, whose doorman I used to have to check in with. And she's just like kind of mean.
And
Pat
she gave
Allen.
You all the advice that you've been using.
Yeah, she wrote the book called Getting To I Do. It's like, whether you should choose to be a masculine or feminine energy. I have been using the masculine energy, which is what I did not want to be initially upon reading the book. I spent a year of my life trying to be the feminine energy and wasted my goddamn time. Now I'm all masculine and it's fucking, I'm loving my life in terms of romantically right now. Yeah. I feel like very secure and it's all because of this bitch. But she called into the show on Monday because we had her as a guest but it was just like, just, hear what went down. Wait a second. Noah's note to me about this. What happens to girls who sleep with guys without a commitment? Okay, so she kept like catching me on word choice because I'd be like, okay, if I sleep with a guy, she goes, sleep with him in a bed. That sleeping with a man is in a bed with them, sleeping next to them. Intercourse. Your words mean something. And I go, okay, if I have intercourse, but I kept slipping up. So you'll hear her chastise me. This is me and Dr. Pat Allen with Moshe Kasher also in studio. God, this episode was so good too. And Anya Marina, Monday show. Then, how many times has a girl gotten attached to a guy she didn't even like?
And I got news for you.
Yeah.
They hate my work. They hate
They me. Hate it.
They throw it away.
Yep.
And then they have to buy another copy.
Exactly. Because women, this is what I keep running into, Dr. Pat Allen, when I am on stage and I tell girls, I do a joke about it. I say, girls, you can't have sex with a guy and get him to be your boyfriend. If
Look,
you're already
please,
sleeping with someone, he's not going to be your boyfriend.
Please, do you hear what I say? Sex is everything you taste.
Fine, intercourse. I'll change the joke.
You're not. Look, beware of your thoughts, for they become words.
Right,
beware
okay.
Of your words, they become habits.
You cannot
beware
have sexual
habits,
intercourse.
Your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being healthy, and in every loving relationship. People do not use words correctly.
Okay.
That's why my doctoral work is androgynous. semantic realignment. How far can you go in your pickup truck if you never change the tires? Not very far.
Okay, so I want to change my tires right now.
6 years, whichever comes first.
I want to change my tires right now and just say to you that what I say to girls is you can, what I mean when I say sex, and I'm going to change it because I hear what you're saying. You cannot have sexual intercourse. You cannot have intercourse.
Oral, anal, vaginal.
With a man who you want to be in a committed relationship with before you have
a commitment.
Exclusivity.
Now, listen to this one. Now, you probably think monogamy means one to one.
Yeah.
It doesn't. If a couple wants an open relationship, and they say that to me, we negotiate how many other people are going to be available for sex. What is the contract boundaries? I am not a moralist. I'm a therapist.
Right.
I'm on the planet to help you get what you think, what you want. But I'm going to show you the scientific price tag for what you're doing, not my personal. You don't know what I'm doing because it's none of your business.
I wouldn't dare ask. What I'm trying to say is that I want women who are listening to understand more than anything that you're saying, is, and because I didn't understand it either, is that sex before sexual intercourse, anal, vaginal, oral is going to get you into deep trouble with a man.
I just told you, intercourse is the God moment when you are going to create a new human being.
Dr. Pat Allen, girls, don't, they think that they can just do it and that they're not going to suffer consequences. What happens during sex biologically that makes women latch on and go crazy over a guy that they didn't even like before they had sexual intercourse, oral, anal,
oxytocin.
Or vaginal?
Tell
us about oxytocin.
Oxytocin is stimulated within 3 minutes of smelling the person. Sitting in a church.
Right.
And you're sitting next to somebody and you've got chemistry for them. You're going to dream of them for 3 days. You're going to picture yourself screwing them because that's nature.
Yes.
Smelling. Smelling. What do dogs do when they meet each other?
Smell buttholes.
What?
They smell buttholes. They smell each other's buttholes.
That's right. Why do they do that?
To get to know each other.
Because they get to know the illness factor within that animal.
Oh, I thought it was to get a commitment. Okay.
I've got news for you. I very much recognize that men know how well a woman is by smelling her vaginal area.
Oh, my God. Really?
I think so.
Amen, sister.
And that does it for the podcast this week. Are there any things we wanted to get to? We are going to eat our food.
I'm so hungry.
I know. I'm so hungry, too. But is there anything else?
Yeah, we look forward to going to Miami, Ohio or something.
Oh, you know what clip I want to set up? Maybe you have some extra thoughts on it. Is that's going to take us out. And maybe you have some, too, as well, Dan. But I'll decide when you start talking whether to tell you to silence yourself or not.
This is tough, Dan. This sucks.
Adrian Iapolucci was on the show on Wednesday with me and Andrew. And she, like, it was like a mellow show. Very but I got into talking about, like, how I, like, crying.
Yeah.
Do you ever cry alone, Dan Perlman?
No. Well,
okay, enough.
A movie.
No, I'm fucking around. Sorry.
I think there was, one day. There was one
what
day.
What movie?
Not with assistance. No porn.
So nothing that I watched or read?
Just crying alone about because your feelings.
No. It has always been something.
Why wouldn't you cry alone with your feelings?
A text I got or a movie I watched or something I read has all made me cry. That's in the last few
getting
years.
Getting a text is like a feeling that I would say is not conjured by an artificial.
Oh, okay. Then that.
Yeah, that comes from a real place, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that it's all artificial.
What was the text?
But like,
it was something from an ex that was just like a sweet thing that sort of brought on a lot of emotion. It was just like a thing that I didn't expect to hear.
Did you lean into the cry? Or was it just a shallow weep?
No, I don't know. I can't It's kind of like sneezing. Like, I feel like I can't, like, force it out kind of thing. You just have to let it go when it does. But I wish I could more. I always wish I could more.
I will tell you that this week I'm seeing this new therapist that Dr. Drew recommended for me, and I only went to her once, and she's already, like, changing the way I'm thinking about things. I'm also reading books about my feelings more. And, like, the problem is you can, like, lean into crying and let yourself cry, because so much for me, I never cry when I'm alone because I just feel embarrassed, like, you're choosing to do this. And it's like, yeah, you can choose to do it, and it feels really good.
Yeah, I think also I fill it with, like, work a lot. Like, I think I just work a lot, and I'm always working on stuff, and I think that sort of keeps me from just sitting in my feelings.
Tell me about it.
I know. I know you know.
I don't ever show up to a show unless I'm going on stage in 1 minute. I leave no downtime for, like,
so
any
of
my...
always... And that keeps me moving, you know?
I have cried at shows before, just out of pure exhaustion. Yeah, just like, I can't do this. If you get me talking about my schedule, you're going to get some tears. But but crying alone about my schedule is different.
Right.
And I should be able to cry alone and, like, be in your feelings and, like, let yourself feel sad. Do you cry alone, Andrew?
Not really. But, no. I can't remember the last time I cried.
No, it's a good question to ask yourself, but you should be allowed to. Or I think we should all try to get to a place, because sometimes
I don't think it's weak at all.
I don't either. But the thing is, for me, it's very like orgasms for me, because when I started masturbating, it was I didn't want to do this. It, like, hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt before it felt good. It would be like, oh, this is too much. And then I would never take it further. And then I finally had to be like, just fucking do the uncomfortable thing. Force it, because it'll feel really good on the back end.
I always feel good after, and I also feel more, like, creatively. I feel more energized whenever I'm feeling something. I feel like whatever I write is better, or go on stage, I feel like it's all better because I'm coming from I'm accessing more, and I'm not contriving whatever.
Yeah, and you're dumping a lot of shit that is, like, just plugging you up.
Right.
But I don't know. After this show, after the conversation we had with Adrian on Wednesday's show, I already was laying the foundation to really let it go. And I got home. I saw a bad picture of myself. And I got home and I cried so hard for so long. And to the point where Anya was on the phone with me. So it wasn't alone. But I did cry. I started weeping alone on the toilet. I was just, like, texting Anya. And I was like, I'm crying on the toilet. I was just peeing. But I was just, like, letting me sit there in the dark. And then Anya called me. And then I just wailed for, like, probably 10 minutes and just saying all the shit that, like, I knew I shouldn't be saying that, like, makes your friends worry about you.
Sure.
But I just wanted to feel it. And then I, like, got it out, and then I went and meditated, and she's texting me, like, are you okay? Like, still concerned. And I'm like, oh, I'm over it. I'm sorry. That was like, I just needed to get that out. Like, it was.
I've had that.
It was what I felt so,
like,
bad.
You're weird. Yeah. I said I'd cut my wrist.
She's
but
like,
what?
I'm the ambulance is on the way. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, the EMT.
No, I'm,
like,
looking at an apartment banging. For the Andrew.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. Like,
I've sent like,
I'm dancing to Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I've sent panic texts to friends and stuff.
And then forget.
And they're like hours later, like, are you all right? And I was like, yeah, I had an espresso. I'm fine.
Yes.
That's literally.
I had caffeine.
Yeah, it's okay.
I drugged myself, so I'm better. No, I went.
I love that
pot.
They didn't get back to you for hours. And you
I know.
They
did.
I was on the phone with her.
That's why you got to text four. It was one reply. You're one person. Some people have work.
I'm hurting. Write me back. You're so annoying, man.
Yeah, I'm.
It is. I've been that friend before, though, that's overly obnoxious about, like, are you okay? Like, checking in, because.
I don't think it's obnoxious. I think
it's caring. Good. It's good to do. But sometimes you're just like, easy. Are you serious? I'm not going to fucking. But it was spurred because of this show. So I'll leave you with this. This is me and Adrian Iapolucci, whose stand up special you should watch. It's on The Degenerates, along with mine, which is mine's episode 4. I think hers is 5 or 6. She's so fucking funny. Mm-hmm. Andrew Collin, thank you for being here.
Thanks
Dan Perlman, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Let's eat.
Yeah, let's eat. All right. Bye, guys. Enjoy your dinner as well whenever you have it next. Squirt. Do you ever cry alone, Andrew?
Sometimes.
Like, if you're watching a movie or something, right? Yeah. Like, something has to conjure it. But do you ever just, like, think
I
about something and start
crying? I
cry
sometimes thinking about my mom.
Yeah.
You know? And why she won't give me money.
Right. It's hard for you.
Oh, I thought she died.
No, she just won't pay me. Fucking
no.
I ask her for a check every month.
Sick.
Yeah, no.
He's making a joke.
I'm
she's
sorry,
sick.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I don't tell everyone. I don't. You know, you know,
what's the feeling of just like, I'm going to miss her? Is it the feeling of I can't do anything
just
or
how
like
hard
fuck
it is
cigarettes
for
or, oh, just, yeah, thinking about her in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird. Like, I haven't talked to my mother in months, and I love it.
Right.
It's I mean, so we great. Don't talk, well, that's honestly. Great. Like, and then, like, I'll have these feelings, and I won't call her.
Yeah.
But I did call recently, and then she goes to my older brother. She goes, "Did you make Andrew call you?" And I was like, aww. Then it makes me not want to call again, because I did it on my own accord. You know how that is,
well,
you know?
When can it's I like, maybe
but no,
pose
I
something?
Pose?
That I yes. Mike Posner or something?
Yeah.
I think your mom is a beezer.
My mom is a beezer.
Okay. I think that, and I'm projecting right now.
Of course.
But because I didn't realize this until later, like, do you ever, when you cry, instead of crying for your mom, do you ever cry for yourself? That maybe it's that you are sad and that you should be crying because you're maybe suffering the, just, you're going to lose someone you love and you are losing someone you love. And so do you ever get sad for yourself? Because that the other day made me cry because I was thinking about my cousin's death and I was like, I miss him so much. I never got to mourn it. I was in a relationship where my boyfriend really didn't hold my hand through it because he didn't know what to do with death. And I just shoved my feelings for my cousin inside. And the other day I was like, let them bubble up. And I'm like, you poor thing, you lost someone you love. And mm-hmm. I never let myself be sad for myself. It's always like, I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
It's so sad he died. It's sad my dog is in pain. My mom is in pain. It's like, but what about, well, maybe I'm sad because my mom is in pain right now. My mom is in chronic pain and I'm sad for myself because that's hard for someone who loves her so much to deal with. Yeah. As opposed to phrasing it the other way in your head.
I would
implore you to explore it because I just started and it gives you, because you can't control your mom's pain, but you are yourself and you
well,
need
I'm
to
sure
have empathy for yourself.
I'm sure me being sad for her is a way of, I'm putting those feelings on her that are my own.
Right,
feelings.
So I'm telling you maybe examine then, the feeling itself of sadness for yourself.
Yeah.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.